the call. Thank you all for standing by. This is the conference coordinator. At this time, the call is being recorded. Please go ahead.
Fine. Christina, I will do the roll call.
That would be great. Thank you.
We have got Victoria McEvedy, who is from the non-commercial users constituency. Am I right, Victoria?
That's correct.
Thank you. Avery Doria, nominating committee appointee to the GNSO Council. Christina Rosetta, ITC constituency. Frank Schilling, business constituency. Lance Griffin, ITC. Kelly Smith, ITC. John Berryhill, registrar. Margie Millam, registrar. Philip Shepherd, business constituency. Tim Ruiz, registrar. Mike Rodenbach, business constituency. Jeff Newman, registry constituency. David Maher, registry constituency. And Peter Olson from the IPC, as well as Mike Pallage, who belongs to three constituencies, but said in his statement of interest that he was on the working group in an individual capacity.
All right, excellent. Before we get started, I noticed, if I'm keeping track correctly, that there's no one from the ISP constituency. I know that Mike had sent an email to the folks over there to encourage any volunteers. Is there anybody on the call who's got a good relationship with the folks who head up that constituency and wouldn't mind reaching out?
Not the IPC, but the NCUC, you mean?
No, the ISP.
Oh, ISP, sorry. Yeah. No, I had not sent a note to them.
Oh, okay.
Sorry.
All right, then I will go ahead and make a note to do that after the call. The first item on the agenda is, I thought it would be appropriate, given that I know I will have at least one scheduling conflict in the future, if we went ahead and appointed a vice chair, someone who could assist in keeping the working group on track and also run the meetings when I'm not available to do so. Do we have any volunteers for that?
So, Mike Rodenbaugh, volunteer for that, Christina.
Ready? Excellent. The next thing that I had put on the agenda, and the agenda is really more as a guidepost. I don't view it to be written in stone. The next thing I put on the agenda was to get a rough sense of what we're hoping to accomplish and where we would like to be by the Lisbon meeting, which is scheduled to start, I believe, on the 24th of March, which gives us roughly a little over a month, I believe. And I was wondering whether anybody had given any thought to that. I have some thoughts, but before I went ahead, wanted to see what everybody else had in mind. Okay. What I was thinking would be a realistic goal would be to have all of the individual summaries of the various processes and additional information pertaining to each of the TLDs in place, and to the extent that it's possible, kind of rough conclusions as to where there can to be kind of unanimity in the sense of, for a particular type of process, all of the registries except one followed this, or everybody followed this, so that we can kind of get a sense as to where we are going with some of the more substantive issues. And again, to the extent that while we're going through this process, we can identify that, you know, this, for example, is a particular issue that came up regardless of what the protection mechanism is, regardless of how widely it was promoted, regardless of any number of factors. What are everyone's thoughts on that?
Christina, it's Philip here. I think you're probably right. I think we do need to set realistic goals for what each work group can do. I mean, as you know, the work of this group, like another couple, are feeding into the TLD thing, and ideally the timing will be as matched as possible. but it's also doing other things that can slot in later. And I just think we have to be realistic in terms of what is achievable in terms of the work in front of us and the time in front of us.
I certainly agree. Anyone have any other thoughts or suggestions as to where what they think is achievable within the next month? Right. Well, why don't we tentatively plan on that? And this is actually a pretty good lead, and I'm going to move some topics around. One of the things that I've been giving a lot of thought to was how do we organize this work in a way that is most productive and efficient for everyone in terms of their resources, in terms of their time, in terms of having an end product that will be, frankly, most user-friendly for not only the members of the working group in order to arrive at consensus or lack thereof, depending, and then be in a position to make recommendations to the council. One of the things that I was thinking that might be a good way to go about it, and we had touched about on this last week, was to kind of drill down through, for example, the analysis of the existing rights protection mechanisms by TLD, in the sense that each member of the work group, or in some cases multiple members, would be responsible for collecting and analyzing and summarizing the information for the relevant TLD, and that from there, using, piggybacking off of the outline that Liz had provided, that perhaps one way it will ultimately shake out, and again, I could be completely wrong, but one way that things will shake out is we can then kind of consolidate those summaries into, for example, rights protection mechanisms that were more along the lines of kind of a notice basis, like, for example, the IP claims that were used for .biz, for example, something to the extent that we can identify kind of a clear division amongst the TLDs, that one part of the ultimate report would focus on those. Another part of the report would focus on perhaps some of the issues, some of the more kind of traditional, or what I think of as traditional sunrise mechanisms, in other words, pre-registration prior to launch based on ownership of certain specifically identified IP criteria. And then a third section would be additional measures that had been used or considered and for whatever reason had not been pursued, as well as perhaps additional measures that members of the working group in working through their various TLDs may come up with. And I was, does that seem like a workable, for lack of a better word, way to go about it?
This is Mike Grunbaugh. I certainly think so. I would just say that I'm not sure necessarily it'll take a month just to put together summaries of what's out there. I think we should certainly try to do that within the first 2 weeks, and then ideally have a call or two before Lisbon so that we could have more of a plan as to what we want to discuss in Lisbon.
Right, right. Well, I was certainly thinking that towards one of the things that I also wanted to talk to everybody about is that in terms of analyzing the quantitative and qualitative success, in some instances and perhaps in all, it will be necessary to go back to the original registries and consult with them to get access to particular information that would frankly be required. It may be that there are statistics out there, for example, on the number of kind of sunrise registrations in, I don't know, let's just say .mobi, versus the number of registrations overall. But I don't know that. So part of what I was thinking that we could build in the latter part of the upcoming month was, at a minimum, initiating the consultations with the registries to gain that information.
Well, we do have on the task force itself, this is John Berryhill, Michael Pelage, who coordinated the Sunrise program for .info, and we also have, you know, Jeff Newman,
right,
ran the program at .biz. So,
right,
you know, in terms of consulting experts, we have considerable expertise within the group itself.
Oh, absolutely. And I know, I don't know whether it's gotten through, I know that Jeff had been trying to post this morning the .biz proof of concept report, and it apparently got shot by the filter because of the size. And
it got through to me, and Peter and
Copenhagen.
Yes, and Peter and Copenhagen got it, yeah.
Okay, good, good, good. Did it get through to everybody on the call?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Christine, this is Mike. When you talk about success of the different programs, I guess success is in whose eyes? Is it success in behalf of the registries that may or may not have gotten sued? Is it success in the eyes of the right holders? My question is how would you determine success?
I don't think we're necessarily using an absolute exclusive standard in the sense that I think all of those factors need to be taken into account and as indicated in the outline, and these are issues that we'll need to talk about for each of, you know, what exactly were the problems that these were intended to accomplish? Did they do it? To what extent did a particular registry consider its implementation of a protection mechanism a success, and why? To what extent did, for example, IP owners consider a particular protection mechanism to be a better one in terms of what their goals were? And you're absolutely right. I mean, there's no, at this point, I don't see that we're really committing ourselves. And, in fact, I don't necessarily think at this point it would be a good idea to commit ourselves to saying this is the only standard of success that we're talking about, and we're actually looking at kind of quantitative and qualitative.
This is Jeff. I can add just to Mike. Each one of us in this task force has a number of us have some really strong opinions on this. And all of us, I think, a lot of us have different, as Mike said, different definition of success, whether qualitative or quantitative. For example, you know, as Mike said, some of the registries consider it a success to just get through it because it's considered a necessary evil, and if you can get through it without being sued, that's a success. Other registries may think that if you made some money off of it, that's a success. Whereas even on the IP owner side, you know, not to put words in Mike R's mouth, but I've read some posts where he views any process where an IP owner has to pay money for protection is a failure. Now I might be putting words in your mouth, but what I'm getting at is it's really difficult to we can easily get the data, and you'll see in the proof of concept report that I sent on behalf of Biz, it's got probably every number you possibly want broken down by registrar, including the amount of money we spent in marketing the launch of .biz, the millions of dollars, and how that's broken down between staffing and so the numbers are there. It's going to be very difficult for all of us as a group to remain objective, and that's just what we kind of need to be.
Oh, absolutely. I agree.
Christina, Philip here. I think Jeff raises a good point, and actually Mike posed a very good question. I mean, for me, the starting point, I think, would be asking each registry, when we're asking for figures from them, what was their objective in the Sunrise period, and how do they judge success? So we will get a view from the registry. And they may change. And then I think the second criteria you would want to look at naturally would be that of the external affected parties, i.e. the rights holders, and see if some sort of view in terms of their take on that could also be noted, which leaves for later analysis maybe a third category, you know, to look at in terms of, you know, unintended consequences and those sort of things, which is a bit less tangible. But I thought certainly the first one should be the right question to ask in terms of the registry's own objective and therefore their own evaluation, followed by those of the affected parties.
No, I think that's a great idea. Is that for registry folks? Is that something that you could reach out to the constituencies and identify representatives for each of the registries and have them provide us with a statement? Or I hate to use statement, that sounds so formal. But to the extent even that there may be pre-existing documentation out there that would identify what their goals were, what they viewed to be success. I mean, obviously, you know, to a certain extent, part of everyone's answer, and I think we need to get beyond this, is fine with the RFP. Jeff, I had a question, and we had talked a little bit about this in the last call. Are all of the registries required to complete and post these proof of concept reports?
Only the ones that were launched in 2000. I don't think, I haven't looked at the reporting requirements of the newest sponsored TLDs like Mobi, mm-hmm. and it may be included in their monthly reports. It may not be.
All right.
But, InfoBiz, Org had some proof of concept reports too, although I guess it's really not relevant because they didn't, during the transition, they didn't really do there was no IP protection.
Oh, this is David. There was no.
Right. So, but you have Info, you have Biz, you have Name, you have Pro.
Arrow Co-op, the museum.
Right.
And if you want Christine, it's www.icann.org/registries/POC.
Yeah.
There are all the reports, but as Jeff noted, except for Biz. And I think Pro's missing their proof of concept as well, but all the other registries' proof of concepts are there. That being said, when you read through them, they generally all say, you know, we think we did a good job. You know, now again, that, you know.
Just to correct it, Biz, we actually, because it was actually, we finished it about a year later, we actually provided an honest assessment, not qualifying whether it was a good job or not, but we definitely indicated the problems and potential solutions. So, just to correct the record, Mike.
There you go.
Well, in an order to get not only what the registry considered to be success, registries considered to be success from their perspective, and what, for example, the IP owners considered to be a success, and, for example, what the registrars themselves, who, you know, in many cases were the main point of contact for many IP owners, so what they considered to be success, as well as some of the issues, and I think, frankly, we need to do a little cross-pollinization. I mean, I think it's important to find out, for example, from the registry perspective, did they think, to the extent that you can identify particular areas in which you won't necessarily have constituencies or entities agreeing as to whether or not something was a success or not, that might be another way to go about it. I mean, do you think at this point, I mean, one thing that seems clear to me is that maybe what we need to be doing is to have the working group members from each constituency, and again, registries, I think, obviously will have a bigger burden, but to come back in the next week with, kind of, here's what we considered to be, did we consider this a success? Yes. No. Sort of. Maybe. Yes on some things, no on the others. Here's on what. And also, because we need to get this information at all as well, what the issues were that these mechanisms were intended to protect, as well as many issues that may have developed during the course of the implementation. And if we do it that way, that might be a more efficient way to get as much of the information as possible at once.
Hey, Christine, this is John Nevitt. How are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good. I think it's going to be a lot more difficult to get an evaluation in a week. It probably be a lot easier, at least in the first round, to get what the different registries did for their sunrise periods, just as a factual basis, and
right.
Then probably follow up with the evaluation thereafter.
I agree with that. It's Mike Rodenball, though I do think we should get the constituency starting to think about, you know, what are the principles that they're intending to address in this working group. You know, to the extent it goes beyond the obvious,
right.
Especially.
And this is Mike Palage. I guess my question, since the registries are having a list of homework handed to them, in addition to working with registries, I also obviously work with brand holders. And part of what I've done with a number of brand holders is actually, if you will, worked with them to, if you will, maximize their opportunity to select their name. Not necessarily from a cyber squatter, but in a number of cases actually from another party that may hold a particular mark. So what would be potentially helpful from the trademark owners on this call would be if they could share with the group how they, if you will, engaged in mechanisms to, if you will, maximize their opportunities. I know a number of registrars offered limited queues and things like that. So perhaps they could sort of share their expertise in that area as well.
Oh, absolutely. And in fact, I think this is probably an issue, an area in which all of the registries, I think, all the constituencies have something to contribute and should contribute. And to the extent that the registry folks thought I was putting everything on you, I apologize. I certainly think that, you know, the IBC and the business constituency need to come back with, you know, here's what we thought, here's why we thought it, here are things that we did that may not have necessarily been envisioned by the system, that type of thing. I mean, absolutely, Mike, I think that's a great idea.
I agree. I think at this point that it has to be pretty general until we get some of the factual information from the registries and the registrars.
Can I just jump in? Victoria McKevity.
Sure.
I'm just wondering, and I'm new to the group, I'm wondering, is it appropriate at this stage to have another perspective from, of course, the consumers and the non-commercial users and so forth, or do you think that would perhaps come at further down the track? If we've got rights holders plus registry, I know we're looking at registry, actual experiences. Do you think it's appropriate at this point to balance that up, or perhaps later in the process?
This is Mike. My comment would be, I think that is a fair assessment. I mean, part of the problem that I've seen from some of the, if you will, users is regarding some trademark owners that have trademarks in commonly used words and phrases. One needs to look no further than the .eu Sunrise launch, where there were over 200 applicants claiming trademark rights in the words sex and hotel. So I think in managing this process, we need to, if you will, find some balance so that it will withstand that further scrutiny later on in the process if, in fact, this report, when this report goes to the whole council.
Right, and in fact, Victoria, my initial inclination is that I am certain that the non-commercial users constituency has some strong views on issues that may have developed out of these protection mechanisms, and I think it's critical for this report to be balanced and to be comprehensive to have those considered.
I mean, obviously, the constituency, I'm sure, I don't know what their views are because I'm new to them, but will have views. But I'm just saying, is it appropriate to perhaps identify as we are, sort of, you know, rather than just hoping that their comments will add that, is it appropriate for us to go and get, you know, feedback? Because that's kind of what's happening at the stage.
This is Ivory. Can I comment?
Sure.
Yeah, I would think that it's absolutely essential to do it from the beginning and then in the categories and whatever that we use for evaluating success and the effect of various things, that those considerations should be part of that. So to me, it strikes me as something that we should really be doing from the very beginning.
Yeah, Christina, it's Frank Schilling. If I could just quickly chime in as well, and that's right up my alley. I think somebody asked what would be a definition of success. I think a definition of success would be to include some measure of balance that maybe didn't previously exist, where there's some kind of a provision, at least a line that speaks to the potential for corporate overreaching, in trademarks and generic words and phrases.
This is Peter in Copenhagen. I think that this is very interesting because I would call it one of the failures of .eu. We're talking about successes here. One of the failures of .eu was the fact that we made a system whereby it was totally open to abuse by the cyber squatters. I think that I would expect that more than half, probably more like 70% of all the Sunrise applications, they were by false trademark owners, who had purchased these Benelux, instant trademark registrations.
Well, I guess this is Mike Palage. I mean, one of the things that I share your concerns on the attempts that some people undertook to maximize their opportunity to register a trademark. I guess the hesitation I would have with this group is, you know, the Benelux is it's a nationally recognized mark, and I think we as a group need to at least exercise some discretion in talking in rather negative terms, saying that these registrations were fake.
Right. Yeah. John Berryhill again. I mean, that's nothing new. Just to give one example, in the .biz rollout, you know, a very well respected paint company in the United States filed a trademark for a trademark registration in a foreign country that grants them quickly on paint.biz, and successfully took the domain name for basically the word paint from a domain registrant. But you know, it's more a reflection of the short-sightedness of some of these mechanical rules that have assumptions about, you know, people who own trademark registrations versus people who don't. Because, you know, anyone with the right amount of money can buy a trademark registration somewhere. And, you know, I think that that's something we need to look at going forward with respect to mechanical rules, because a number of people over the years, in anticipation of sunrise mechanisms, have positioned themselves with, as Mike said, perfectly valid legal documents in a number of countries for the purpose of obtaining domain names.
I totally agree, and I agree that this Peter in Copenhagen again, that's part of this process, and I think that also, like paint, as you probably know, is descriptive for paints in class 2, but is, you know, not descriptive for clothing or something like that. The problem with .eu was that there was a whole group of people who abused these ampersands, where they would, like, if they wanted news, they would file an application for NE ampersand WS in class 13 or whatever. You know, blatant abuse of the system.
Or they'd apply for things that were completely unrelated, right? They'd apply
right.
for news, but for clothing.
Right.
Or a good one that I like to throw around is a Yahoo Mail registered for acetylene.
Well, clearly, you know, this is Frank Schilling again. Clearly, I think, you know, success is if we can protect the genuine rights of trademark holders. But you're not going to get a balanced system where everybody says this is a fair process, this is equitable, if generic commercial registrants of generic dictionary words and phrases are sort of held out as cyber squatters. You know, anybody, I mean, there's a decade of case law that says any registrant can register a generic domain name and use it within the law. And as long as, you know, sort of commercial registrants are sort of held out to ridicule as these cyber squatters, you're not going to get an equitable situation where, you know, everybody's happy. I think you'd have a lot more respect and a lot more, you know, assistance of genuine trademark holders if there was some balance, you know, provided to generic commercial domain registrants.
This is Peter in Copenhagen again. I think that what we have to do is, hello? We have a, the Sunrise until now has been one where the trademark owners ended up with active domain name registrations. What I think the trademark owners are more interested in, really, is a negative list, like a reserve name, which could be pulled out if they wanted them. But, I mean, basically what they want to do is just make sure that other people don't take their names.
This is Jeff Newman, if I can get in the queue.
Sure.
All right.
And Tim with GoDaddy.
Yeah, I think one thing we also need to consider here, which is kind of being lost in the shuffle, is as a registry, we don't want names blocked out of the registry. Our goal is to have users, have people actually develop live websites. To us, it does no good for, let's say, Apple Computer to reserve Apple.biz and have no one being able to use Apple.biz when there could be an Apple farmer or a small business that manufactures apples or not manufacture, farms apples or distributes them that could actually have a .biz site. We cannot lose sight that TLDs do not want to be carbon copies of each other, and although trademark owners need to protect their marks, I completely understand that, we are starting new TLDs to promote competition and to promote active websites, not names that are withheld. I mean, it would be ridiculous to apply something like this to a keyword system, right, where, you know, in Yahoo, if I wanted Neustar, and I could just not use it, but I could just have Yahoo for free or for a low price block out anyone else from getting that keyword. It just doesn't promote use of the system. It's very, very crucial from a registry standpoint that we're not each carbon copies of each other and that we actually have use of the name.
You know, there aren't that many names that get claimed in the Sunrise. I mean, would it be so hard to have sort of a, you know, a flash panel assemble of experts who could weigh each, you know, Sunrise application, look at the intended use, look at the name at face value, and make a judgment call rather than, you know, sort of like a live, ongoing UDRP-ish panel, you know, three-person panel that reviews the names and just sort of gives them a sniff test, if you will.
We're registries. We have technical expertise, right? We don't have expertise in intellectual property law. I mean, each one has a lawyer, probably, that works for it. And we certainly don't have the ability as registries to actually, you know, figure out when we get two applications which one's actually going to use it. And we'd hope that anybody who actually does register it actually uses the name. I mean, really, we need to think of this at the macro level, not necessarily down to the micro level of how can we make sure intellectual property owners are happy. Because if that's the case, then you will not have any new TLDs.
But I'd like to comment on that after, I think Tim Ruiz is in the queue. I'd comment after Tim.
Who is that, Mike?
Yes.
All right.
And Philip in the queue as well, please. If I may queue jump, all I really wanted to say, Christina, was a point of process, really. As much as I hate to stifle a jolly good dialogue, I wondered if, looking at your agenda, you were more on a planning mode for work rather than discussing substance.
Well, I am, and I think these are all really important concerns and issues, but I do think that we do need to set out, at least for the next couple weeks, what the work plan is.
Yep.
And what I'm hearing from everyone is there's really kind of two assignments, I think, for everyone, and we'll need to allocate how to go about them. But I do think that constituency members should go back to their constituencies. I realize that, and we should talk about what kind of time frame we want this information back. But and registries obviously will be separate because it'll be on a per TLD basis. But I do think that that for the constituencies, we need to have exactly the type of statements we've been talking about. From your perspective, what issues were these preventive mechanisms designed to solve? From your perspective, were they a success? If they were, why? If they were not, why not? If some were and some weren't, why were they? Why were not others? What implementation problems came up? And also just really looking through this outline, because this is all really critical information that we have to have, and I think, frankly, the best way to make sure that we get it is to go back to the constituency level. And I can certainly, is there somebody who'd be willing to kind of take a stab at drawing up a little kind of request for comment that could then be circulated around?
I'm just a little, you mentioned like a ton of questions there. This would be, so I heard Philip initially say that he wanted, or whoever, I don't know if it's Philip or a person before that, say that they wanted a list of the mechanism that each registry implemented and some of the details behind that. And then you're asking for a request for comment on the definition of success? I'm missing.
Okay, there's two things that are going to go on, and I guess maybe the first thing to do is let's talk about the TLDs, because I think everybody in the working group should be responsible or jointly responsible for analyzing the processes used by a particular TLD. So, Mike, you rattled that list off pretty quickly. Can you repeat it?
Me?
Mike Palace, yeah, Mike P.
Mike, what list did I rattle off?
The 2000 TLDs. I think I have them all. Biz, Info, Co-op, Museum, Aero, Name, and Pro.
That would be correct.
Okay.
I'd like to add to that list. Certainly, we need to look at .eu, .asia, .sex, or .xxx in those proposals. I guess the idea people
would
love
to accumulating all of the information that is out there. We need to get that information, put it into a document.
Well, and frankly, we need to go beyond that. We need to include jobs, mobi, travel, and
right.
then I think we need to circle back and talk about the TLDs that are in negotiations, but there's nothing set yet. Because frankly, I think it's more important that we focus on, you know, things that have launched, things that have already gone live. In addition to .eu, are there any other TLDs that we should consider?
I'd put .us in there.
.us.
Because it was a straight, it was a probably the first Sunrise that actually validated trademark registration.
All right.
I think we should also look at the policies in some of the, I don't even know what to call them, the sort of marketing CCTLDs, .tv, .la, .im, ones that are essentially... not run as CCTLDs.
All right.
I think the answer to those are pretty easy, that there was no process.
Yeah,
but actually, I think there are complaint processes that they have adopted, that those registries have adopted, some of them.
Right, but those are, well, we also need to separate the difference between a dispute mechanism, like a UDRP after the fact, or a launch mechanism, and I'm not sure what's in and out of scope for us.
I think it's all within scope. Any mechanisms designed to protect the rights of others, unless I'm wrong, but that's
well,
what I'm
saying. Well, I think the thing is that, you know, the UDRP and the registration agreement are, correct me if I'm wrong, for those of you who've been involved longer, I mean, those are consensus policies. Those will apply.
But not within CCTLD. I mean,
right. So not, okay.
Each of those might have a dispute mechanism of their own that we might learn something from. I mean, one of the things I was going to point out was that, you know, we've taken all these comments that we just had this big discussion, a lot of different views. You know, I mean, at some point, you know, certain principles hopefully will be drawn out from these comments as to these are the principles that we might recommend would be a good part of a good process to protect the rights of others. But the end result might be that can't be done on a Sunrise-like process or during launch, and that the best way to protect might be after the fact. So I think it's valid to look at those dispute mechanisms.
Well, this is Jeff. I mean, if I could just offer a differing point on that. I think in order for us to get any work done, I mean, I really think that we just really need to limit it to the launch processes coupled with any dispute mechanism that's specifically tailored to the launch and put UDRP aside, because UDRP, as Christine said, is really a given. It's there. And to go back to the overall task force looking at new TLDs, I mean, they pretty much said that consensus policy should apply to all future TLDs. So given that's the case, and given that I don't want to get into a debate as to whether the UDRP is good or bad, we should just accept the UDRP as a given and really only look at the launch process and any dispute that's specifically tailored at that launch process.
Tim with GoDaddy, I don't know if I necessarily agree, Jeff. I mean,
I don't think I agree either.
I don't think I want to dispute the UDRP. What I want to do is consider the fact that dispute mechanisms after the fact, whether it's UDRP or something else, could potentially be a better way to protect the rights of others than a launch process like Sunrise.
I agree with that, but I just, again, I want to be careful not to get into the problems of a UDRP.
Can I just say that's something I would certainly like to take instructions on and come back on, and just to clarify that, really, if you don't mind.
Who's that speaking?
That's Victoria McEvity in CUC.
I'm inclined to suggest that we should focus, at least initially, on compiling the quantitative information that we need on the TLDs that have launched, with regard to their pre-registration, and to the extent that there have been dispute processes associated with that Sunrise stop, that we should focus on those first before we start examining the UDRP. And I certainly don't mean to suggest that by doing that we're eliminating consideration of the UDRP as possibly the ultimate recommendation, but I do think that for now, at least, we need to focus on getting this initial group of information gathered.
This is my place. Who do we have on?
I don't disagree with that. I'm just saying that, you know, I don't want to not, and I'm not talking about UDRP necessarily exclusively. I just don't think we should exclude
looking at all the mechanisms, all possible mechanisms for protecting the rights of others that have been used. And there are mechanisms that have been used that are more after the fact than during launch.
Well, absolutely, and maybe a way to go about it is to have everybody on the working group volunteer to be responsible for a particular TLD, and I have to think that we've got more working group members than TLDs, and the folks that aren't allocated to a TLD will go in the, you know, alternate post-registration mechanism group. Does that sound workable to everybody?
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
This is Peter in Copenhagen. I think you need the extra people have to be able to help with the horizontal analysis. I think there's going to be a lot of need for that analysis. I think, and also asking the questions to the people who are responsible for it.
I'm sorry, Peter. Are you done?
Yeah.
This is Mike Blade. I guess I have a question at a macro level here. Who do we have on from ICANN staff on this call?
Jessica Lynn, if she's still on.
Jessica Lynn. Yeah. I guess my question is, a lot of the questions that we're looking at, protecting the rights of second-level domain name registrants, this was something that was actually contained in the original PDP. Okay, I myself even provided responses last year to this. So my question is, are we reopening what has already been, if you will, the work or precedent that has been undertaken through the existing PDP regarding second-level names, or are we really trying to look at the protection in the rights of others at the top-level domain? Because in the, you know, the reserved names working group, we are looking at that at both the second level and the top level. And I'm trying to assess here, everything that I have heard to date on this call, it deals exclusively with the second level. And I'm just trying to reconcile that because a lot of these questions should have already been answered about 8 months ago.
At the top level or the second level?
At the second level. If you looked at some of the questions regarding the PDP that were put out prior to, I believe, the Amsterdam consultation, Mike, a lot of these questions were answered. How would you protect rights? A lot of these questions were answered. So I guess that's my macro level question is, are we looking at protecting the rights solely at the second level, or are we looking at the top level?
I mean, the statement of work is currently tilted towards the second level.
Because a framework agreement for about a framework agreement for registry operators. So this sounds to me like it's after the registry, the TLD has been selected and there's an agreement and process are done. What would the framework for that look like?
I
and protection for registrants.
I think that's right. I think at the top level, Mike, that we've been discussing, you know, the task force level has been discussing different ways to look at trademark interests and confusingly similar strings and string contention. So I think that's happening separately of this from this group.
Right. And I think
exactly. And anyway, I think, Christina, it's whatever we do, I think we just need to be very clear and very focused, so we can do achievable work in bite-sized pieces. So the more we can,
right,
the more we can, you know, limit work so we can do something and produce a result,
right,
use
right
the learning and move on, I think the better. So let's not get too...
No, absolutely.
Yeah, and just to add, this is Jeff, and I was kind of surprised I didn't see it in Liz's email, but there was a paper done, I want to say 2003, by Miriam Sapiro's, I forgot what you call it.
Oh, the Summit Strategies paper?
Right. That
yeah
had a bunch of the data in it, and, you know, whether we take the conclusions or not is completely up to us as a group, but there was data in there.
All right.
What about the WIPO evaluation, Jeff? Did she include that? Remember WIPO? WIPO did a report.
Yeah, that may have been cited. I personally don't like the WIPO reports because I think, although it does a good job in providing the data, its conclusions are, well, it comes from a slanted view.
I don't want to interrupt everybody, but I want to make sure that we end the call with kind of assignments on a going forward basis so that we can move forward. If we could, what I'd like to do is just kind of, run through the TLDs and have each person volunteer for one. I think in the interest of objectivity, if you responsible for designing or implementing the policy for a particular TLD, that you should not be the person to handle that quantitative analysis. And then we'll go from there. So dot biz?
I'll do biz, pull age.
Okay, info?
I guess I could do info. This is
okay, that was Jeff Newman?
Yep.
Okay. Co-op?
Nobody wants to do co-op, Fred.
I'll do co-op, Victoria McKivity.
Okay, great. Museum?
I'll do dot Moby. This is Tim with GoDaddy.
Okay, Tim, we'll do Moby. Museum?
I'll do museum, it's Kelly Smith.
Okay. Arrow?
I'll take whichever one's left, Christina. It's Frank Silly.
All right. I'll put you down there with tentatively. Name?
Come on, Mike. Philip, step up.
I was going to wait until the end and then go with the second after-the-fact policy. That was more
interesting. We have a raffle.
All right. We'll circle back to that. Dot pro?
I'll take dot pro.
Who's that?
Lance Griffin.
Okay. Dot EU?
This is Margie. I'll take that one.
All righty. Lucky you, Margie. And, dot cat?
This is Aubrey. I'll take dot cat.
Excellent. Dot jobs?
I could take dot jobs.
I'm sorry. I haven't recognized everybody's voice.
Mike Rodenboss,
okay,
sorry.
Mike. R. Dot travel?
Someone should volunteer for this because there was no sunrise.
I'll take that one.
Really? There was nothing?
There was nothing.
They just had their rights verification where they had to match up the company name.
Oh, that's right. Okay, well, we'll leave them off for now.
Don't you think you should include them?
No, you're right. Okay, so who wants to do dot travel?
Come on, Philip, there's no work there.
But I would do it. This is Jeff. I'd do it, but I was the back end, so I can't.
That's correct. All right, I'll do it.
Hey, Christina, it's Kelly Smith. Is the same issue with dot museum? Did they even have a...
They did, but it was more along the lines of dot travel. I mean, there was verification. I think they did do something to the extent that there was competition. Now, getting back to some of the other CCTLDs, we've got dot TV. I don't even know if they had one.
I don't believe they had Sunrise. I believe they have after-the-fact policies.
All right. Well, let's leave them aside. We still need somebody for dot name.
This is Peter in Copenhagen. I guess I missed out on the opportunity of adding CCTLDs. We had a very interesting one in Denmark here, .dk, with the addition of the IDNs with a very unique auction system, combination of an auction and a lottery. So I'd like to do that one if possible.
That's a good solution. Actually, that reminds me that we should probably also look at some of the CCTLDs that have released new TLDs. For example, it always was .com.dw and .com.es until they launched at the second level, .tw and .es, and they did involve or use sunrise periods in those. Same with Korea.
All right.
Well, we're running out of committee members.
Exactly. What about, we still need somebody for dot name. Okay, I'll do that one. All right. Why don't we do this? Peter, if you'll do .dk and .td.
TV?
Peter Olson?
Yeah. Okay.
All right. The next thing that we need is a standardized format to just make everybody's life easier.
Christina, sorry to interrupt. It's John.
Yeah?
Did you do a U.S.?
I'm sorry. I completely forgot U.S.
I'm happy to do that one.
Okay. That was John Nevitt, right?
Yeah.
Okay. Am I leaving any out that anybody feels really strongly about?
Just that I think we should look at some of the CCTLDs generally, ES, TW, KR, to see how those have been done.
Yeah, I'll take a look at that SE while I'm looking at that cat.
Okay. Excellent, thank you.
Not that I know anything about it. It's just a figure.
All
right.
Can I get somebody to volunteer to come up with, at least for the quantitative aspect of this, some kind of standard format or, you know, even a spreadsheet for people to use? Please? I think it's going to be much easier on the back end.
Right. So don't we have staff support? I mean, isn't that something that would work well for an ICANN staff policy staff person to be doing?
I can certainly suggest it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And if the current staff is too busy, it's always reasonable to ask them to pick up, you know, some extra help to help
with
this.
All right, perfect. Next thing would be somebody to kind of simultaneously start coming up with kind of a list of questions or kind of a request for comment paragraph that we could distribute to the various constituencies that would give us some of the more qualitative analytical information. Is there somebody who'd be willing to take a stab at just drafting something for circulation?
I mean, not to jump ahead, Christine, but perhaps we need to wait to see what some of the questions come back with regard to this step before we know what the questions may be. You know, seeing how the mechanisms work before we actually start formulating the questions.
We could do that. What I'm concerned about is I think this latter part, the analytical qualitative part, is going to be significantly more difficult. And I'm reluctant to leave that, at least getting started on it, for too long. But we could certainly wait until next week and have everybody just kind of think about what the best way, from their perspective, it would be to go about getting this information.
The thing I would try to offer to you is when the Who Is Committee Task Force did one of their analysis where you had to sort of answer questions, it was rather hard. So perhaps you were talking about a spreadsheet where certain boxes could be ticked or things like that. That may be to provide a framework to get more feedback and to more quickly analyze the responses from people. So that's what I'm saying is perhaps we wait until, you know, next week we look at some of the responses that we get back in connection with the different TLDs. That may provide a mechanism to set up the spreadsheet that you were just talking about, and that spreadsheet may be the basis for sort of people to sort of tick boxes and move forward.
All right.
Because reading through long answers and then trying to quantify that is very difficult. I mean, I don't know who on this call. Philip, you were on the Who Is Task Force, I believe, back then a couple of years ago. Perhaps you might be able to elaborate on some of the difficulties in quantifying the written answers to the survey.
I'm delighted to say I have never been on the Who Is Task Force. However, I have read the Who Is reports and seen some of the earlier stuff. I agree completely. We need as much as possible to have data that is easy to analyze, and that's exactly the function of tick boxes, evaluations, scores 1 to 5, that sort of thing, rather than free text.
Okay. All right. Then let's do that.
May I just say, while we're doing that and working up that spreadsheet, I think we could all go back to our constituencies and start working up our sort of general experience and concern statement.
Sure.
Because that constituency work takes time. So.
Sure. No, that's great. All right. Well, I will. I'll send around a quick email to just kind of outline what we've just talked about and assignment allocations. Don't hesitate to speak up if I got it down incorrectly, and I'll shoot an email off to Liz to see if she can put together, a very short form that we can use for just even kind of the descriptive, what was the eligibility requirement, what were the rights bases requirements, et cetera, to get that down to a very easy to complete project.
Just on process, it's probably better to send that to Denise rather than Liz.
Oh, you think?
Who then might allocate it elsewhere depending on staff loading.
Okay.
Sorry, Christina, can I just get who volunteered for Dot Museum and Dot Era?
Dot Museum is Kelly Smith.
Kelly and Era?
Frank, I think you volunteered by default.
That's right.
Thank you.
All right. Well, I think that's it. Thank you, everyone. I think this has been at least for me, I know it's been very productive and helpful, and I hope that's true for everyone else. Keep an eye out for the email, and I will talk to everyone next week.
This is Jeff. I just sent around the link to the evaluation report.
Oh, perfect.
So it'll help whoever's got Aero, Biz, Info, for those initial, it'll help you tremendously, I'm sure.
All right. Excellent. Thank you.
Christina, congratulations on ending a call in 59 minutes.
Can you tell I bill by the hour?
exactly.
All right. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.